This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
You played in a lot of SEC stadiums. You were in a heated game at Tiger Stadium. Nick Saban's return there. How does Tiger Stadium match up? How difficult is it in comparison to the rest of the road venues in the SEC? At the end of our talk with John Parker, he is going to tell you how you can win a pair of Alabama LSU tickets. You can go to the game this weekend. JP's with us now. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are y'all?
Awesome. Thank you. You played in a lot of SEC stadiums. You were in a heated game at Tiger Stadium. Nick Saban's return there. How does Tiger Stadium match up? How difficult is it in comparison to the rest of the road venues in the SEC?
You know, I think everywhere in the SEC is tough to play on the road. But LSU Stadium at night is it's something different. You know, I think the fans really take as much pride as any other fan base of getting ready for a night game in particular. I mean, usually it's any game, but these night games for them are something special. So as a player, you know that going in, and it's you know, this is what makes playing the SEC fun. It's these big games with everything on the line, fans yelling at you the whole time. It's these are the games that are the most fun. These are the ones that you remember as a player, and especially if you're able to come out with a win. So hopefully our guys can go down and take care of business on Saturday.
I won't bring up the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that it led to, but that week with all the phone calls coming in, how distracting was it? How did you deal with all that? When did it start? I mean, just kind of walk us through that whole deal.
You know, it started on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, so pretty early in the week. And actually, it wasn't very distracting at all because once they started, I mean, there was no stopping it. I mean, it's not like you can take your number off the internet. So I just turned my phone off. I didn't have to worry about my phone or anything else basically for the rest of the week. So it was kind of nice not to have to, you know, get on or text or call anybody. So I was just worried about ball. You know, Sunday when I got back, I went all down, skipping down to the AT&T store or wherever it was, and got my number changed. So it was nothing to worry about. But yeah, that the penalty turned out not to be a great thing. Luckily, we won the game, or that would have been a pretty bad penalty at the end of the game.
Oh, that's right. They did have cell phones when you played.
Wow.
I know. I think it was the first iPhone model.
So a Razor. You had a Razor, right?
So, JP, I don't know how late you're up. I know you get up early and you've got kids. Do you ever watch Scott Van Pelt and his Bad Beats segment?
I've seen it, but not regularly. I mean, that's way too late.
Well, the reason I bring this up is I go back to a game. I was down in Baton Rouge, and you kicked me square in the junk before you and I knew each other, because you guys, you had a first and goal in overtime, and all you had to do was kick the field goal, not cover, and I think it was you that actually did the quarterback sneak.
You did, yeah.
And you guys actually cover the number in overtime.
Yes, I love that. I have no idea. I mean, absolutely no clue. But, yeah, we had a couple opportunities to kick field goals earlier in that game. That we had one blocked. When Rashad picked off the ball in overtime, in college, if the first team turns the ball over, the game's basically over. You can run two plays, try to put the ball in the middle of the field, and then kick it from the 25-yard line. I mean, that's, you know, not a chip shot, but that's pretty easy in college. Coach Saban, you know, doesn't call plays every drive, but he was like, let's put this thing in. No more messing around. Throw it to Julio. Let's score a touchdown. So when he said that, Julio made a great catch, got down the 1 yard line. Yeah, I apologize. 1 yard later, you know, we're winning the game. Sorry, LT.
I couldn't believe it happened, but hey. It's been a decade now,
right,
which is hard to believe.
So you don't gamble, right?
Later, you're still salty. I love it. Must have had a lot on the line.
Always a lot.
Back then, I was a little more reckless than I am now, believe it or not.
John Parker Wilson's with us. He's going to talk about some tickets to that Alabama and LSU game from our friends at Crane Works in a moment. But I wanted to ask you, if you are in this game, with the way LSU plays defense, Dave Aranda's defense, how can you use your running backs to sort of dilute a pass rush and to not really get involved with those three great NFL-type defensive backs? Where does Damian Harris and Josh Jacobs and Najee Harris play a role in this game?
Yeah, I think they play a big role. You've got to come out, and you know how LSU is going to play. This is going to be a physical game, and the first thing that you know when you play a physical team like this is you've got to match or try to surpass their physicality. And a good way to do that is putting the the ball on the ground and trying to run it. And I think Alabama has gotten much better in the running game throughout the year. I think they've gotten better and better. And you want to control the clock in this game, but also there's a fine line in trying to avoid their very good secondary. I mean, they got two guys that are Thorpe semifinalists right now, you know, the midseason All-American. So there's a fine line of not trying to test those guys and staying away from what the strongest point of the team is, and that's the passing game. So I think you try to play this game balanced. You continue to do the RPOs that Alabama has basically mastered this year of getting the chance to run the ball. But if the run doesn't look good and the linebacker, the safety is not cooperating, then you see Tua on that long play action read. He'll just pull it, and his quick release, he's able to get the ball out of his hands before the second level, and the receiver, you know, is not getting blown up. So I think you try to get those guys going with the RPOs, and if it's just simply not there, you don't run into a bad play and you throw it. So I think it has been beautiful. Michael Oxley's done a great job of drawing those up and staying with them really the whole year.
John Parker Wilson is with us on the Bud Light Hotline. When you look at Alabama, they have given up 5 sacks this year. Only 2 teams have done better than that in the whole country. One of them's Army, who never throws. So 5 sacks is all they've given up this year, and some of that is Tua's quick release. A lot of it's the offensive line, obviously. At what point do you think a defensive coordinator looks at that on film and looks at those numbers and says, it's just hard to get to them. I am going to limit my blitzes as much as possible because I can't lose the coverage and never get to the guy. I mean, yeah. Do you just keep your philosophy no matter what, or do you have to consider that with Alabama?
No, I think you have to consider that. Look, a defensive coordinator, you have a philosophy that starts in the spring. You work around the training camp, and you perfect it during the season. So you can't abandon who you are as a defense. If you're a blitzing team, you got to line up and blitz. And that's what teams try to do early this year. They try to say, okay, we got a young quarterback in Tua. Let's just blitz him and see how he handles it. Well, he showed that he could handle the blitz really well. And I, you know, don't have the stats in front of me, but he was pretty highly rated when they had pressure. So then middle of the season, teams backed off and said, okay, if we can't get to him, let's at least drop everybody in coverage and give ourselves a chance to make an interception or to be disruptive, you know, down the field. Well, last week against Tennessee was his first ball that was even marginally close to being interception. So that's become tough. And I was just watching SportsCenter, and Jonathan Vilma was on there, who's, you know, one of the best linebackers to ever play. And his thoughts were, you got to try to get to him, and you got to do it with new ways. You got to show blitzes that Tua has never seen before. Grant Delpit, their safety, is leading the team in sacks, second in tackles for loss. So they like to blitz their safeties a lot. If you watch Alabama and all, that's been Xavier McKinney for our defense. Coach Saban moves him around, lines him up at linebacker or wherever, and he's been able to get to the passer pretty successfully. I see LSU doing that. I think you got to blitz them early. You know, LSU's a defense that prides themselves in turnovers. They're first in the SEC. They're 5th in the country right now in turnover margin. So if they're going to be in the game, they've got to get turnovers, which Alabama hasn't done this year. Tua has not thrown a single interception. The running backs have held onto the ball pretty well. So LSU somehow got to be disruptive and get some interceptions. And then if they're going to have a chance to win the game, they've got to run the ball. They've got to be able to control the clock and keep Alabama's offense off the field.
Alabama has more first quarter points, 165, than 11 FBS teams have scored all season. So they are so efficient when they go out there those first 2 or 3 drives. How many plays deep are the first few series scripted, and how long do you think it's been set for this LSU game?
They probably set the opening script, I'd say, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, generally when you don't have a bye week before, it might be a little later in the week, but since the coaching staff had 2 weeks to get ready for it, you get that done a little earlier. And you usually take 15 plays to start the game, and that was kind of whatever level I went to. We did it in high school. We did it in college. Pros was usually generally around 15 plays. And, you know, that can go pretty well into the first quarter if you think about, you know, you get off script on third downs. You get off script if you go into the red zone or you're backed up inside your own territory. So usually it can get you into the first quarter. And the thought behind that is, okay, we know we like these plays. These are kind of our 15 best ideas. So let's practice them on Thursday and Friday. You know, our walkthrough on Saturday, be super crisp on it. And the Alabama, I think you used the word, they've been able to execute these things unbelievably. I mean, they've scored on every opening drive of the season. That's hard to do. That's really even hard to think about. They've been able to do that, but it's just their execution's been unbelievable. And that's the thing about Mike Locksley and his offense is they've been able to do creative things, but also maintain their execution. Because generally, when you get away from your standard core offense and you run some new plays, well, guys are going to have mental errors just because they haven't had the reps. But for some reason, this Alabama team, this Alabama offense has been able to maintain their efficiency pretty well.
Did you pretty well have the script memorized by game time? I mean, did you even need to look for the signals? Unless you knew you were an all-script situation, like third down or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you look to the sidelines just to confirm, but, no, you basically, okay, you know, as soon as he starts – or when I was in there, as soon as he starts signaling or I looked at the first word of the play, okay, I knew exactly what it was. Because they will get off – you will get off script because, you know, there's different situations.
Sure.
But, no, you have everything memorized. And that – you know, for me, basically, it was the whole game plan. You know, once I knew that where we're at on the field, you can kind of call the plays for the coordinators. And that's the thing about, you know, hopefully Locksley can stay another year with Tua, and then they get these guys getting a really good groove because, you know, this is the time of the season where they're getting a rapport where they're on the same page. And that's when it becomes fun is when you look at the sidelines, you're like, man, that's exactly the play I'd call. And you go out and run it. That's when you and a coordinator and, you know, we see guys in the NFL like Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I mean, they're basically, you know, like an old married couple finishing each other's sentence. That's as quarterback, that's when it gets fun.
All right, he's John Parker Wilson, now the analyst on the Crimson Tide Network, former Alabama quarterback. He's presented each week by Craneworks, and right now, John Parker is going to tell you how you can win a pair of Alabama LSU tickets for this weekend's game, this Saturday's game. Listen closely. Tell them about it, JP.
All right, so we're doing something different this week. I really liked it. I was talking to the Uptons yesterday, always coming up with great ideas. And they said, hey, we got a couple extra tickets to the LSU game. Let's give it away to our listeners, to our customers. So if you go, if you listen to the show, this is going to be an easy question, or you can go to their website at craneworks.com. But if you tweet at craneworks1987, the answer to which three cities are Craneworks offices located? So text or tweet to craneworks1987. Which three cities are Craneworks offices located? You'll be entered to win. They'll draw a ticket. They'll draw your name later this morning, let you know how to get the ticket. So get a chance to go down to Baton Rouge. As you go through the interchange there in Birmingham, you see all their cranes. There's like 100 right now. So watch out driving through that corridor. So tweet them at Craneworks1987. Which three cities are their offices located for a chance to win?
Awesome. Thank you, JP. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the bayou.
Roll tide, guys.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good. Auburn wins 22-19. The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.